All right, well, let's open in prayer with Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 2, which is just directly out of King James, however we pray it in personal form. Starting verse 1. Lord, teach us to receive thy words and to hide thy commandments within us, so that we can incline our ears unto wisdom and apply our hearts unto understanding. Yea, teach us to cry after knowledge and to lift up our voice for understanding, that we might seek her as silver and search for her as for his treasure, that we might understand your fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. And so the reason why we have scriptural prayers is because, well, they are from the Holy Spirit, which is a good time today for discussing some of that stuff. So, you know, it's scriptural prayer is directly from God, and we give it back to God. So that's an important reason to pray in that way. And in this little booklet, we have some resuscitations we're going to start with, and we are going to do our singing towards the end, and there's a reason for that. The reason for it is because some of the singing will make better sense once you understand what is going on. And so today for us is the day after the count for Pentecost. That is the counting of 50 days from the time that the sickle was put to the corn, happening on the 9th day of the first month, which is after the first Sabbath of the year. And so at this point in history, God commanded special things to be done, but it is a very important time in the history of Adam's people in general, because this has been taking place since the time of Abel and Cain, and most people do not even realize that this particular offering of the first fruits and worship towards God by the harvest is something that was done since the beginning. And so God communicated this truth to Adam, and Adam told it to his children, and it's one of the things that had not deteriorated in the fall of man up until that point. So though Adam fell, man had worshiped Yahweh in this way by keeping the first fruits. And I would say probably by the same reckoning that it was told to Moses in the Pentateuch. So something to remember there as we move our way throughout the Feast of Weeks, which is what this new moon weekend is, starting last evening was Pentecost. Yesterday was the day of Pentecost, and then we have the continuation of the Feast of Weeks that happens at that time. And so the first resuscitation is actually from Genesis 4, and it also has an addendum at the end of Hebrews 11:4. And if you remember, last Sabbath, what we had discussed was that revelation is given in time. So the New Testament reveals that which the Old Testament says more clearly. And so whenever we read these things, if you don't read the additions added by the apostles, there are insights they have on what happened that may not be mentioned in the book of Genesis, but it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. And so let's begin. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel.
Abel was a keeper of sheep,
but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground,
an offering unto the Lord.
And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock,
and of the fat thereof.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering,
but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect.
And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain,
by which he obtained witness that he was righteous,
God testifying of his gifts.
And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh.
And so the offerings of the first fruits happened that early in biblical history. And so don't let anybody tell you that Moses invented it. Also, in the next page, we have the direct command that teaches us how this works in the calendar system of the people of Israel. And this is from Exodus chapter 23, 12 through 17. And you will notice that the very first statement is in direct connection with the fourth thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest.
That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed.
And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect.
And make no mention of the name of other gods.
Neither let it be heard out of thy mouth.
Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year, the feast of unleavened bread.
Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty.
And the feast of harvest,
the first fruits of thy labor which thou hast sown in the field.
And the feast of ingathering,
which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord Yahweh. And so that is an important thing also that we think about as we learn these things on this day. Most people don't realize it, but the Feast of Yahweh is the separation between heathenism, paganism, the other gods of the world, and his people. In many ways, if you think about it, the days of our common week are all named after pagan gods. It's actually a witness of its own self, but most people are too blind to care or see it. So the moment you abandon God's worship, you will quickly adopt pagan worship, or at least their customs. And so, also in Leviticus chapter 23, 15 through 22, is the direct command of how what the second point of the Feast of Harvest and the First Fruits works. It says, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering.
Seven Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Shall ye number 50 days.
Ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour.
They shall be broken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
And ye shall proclaim on that selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations.
And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God."
And so the end is added there because that is to tell us for sure that this is a harvest-related activity that God was reminding the people. And also, if you ever wondered about the day of Pentecost and what the people were gathered together doing, that was what you do today. And so most Christians acknowledge that the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost or re-given in a more glorious form to glorify Christ. But most people, even those who call themselves Pentecostal, have no idea what was going on at Pentecost. So it's important that you have understanding of these. So also Acts chapter 2 is in the lineup. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
they were all with one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven,
as of a rushing mighty wind,
and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as like as a fire,
and it sat upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance."
And so, Pentecost, or First Fruits, or the Feast of Weeks, is not a light festival like, oh, it's only a couple days long, so we just don't really have to worry about it that much. It's actually a very important time in Christian history as well. And so tomorrow, which is the new moon, Numbers chapter 28, 26 to 31, is the end of the Feast of Weeks. And so when the apostles would have been gathered together and this thing had happened, they were probably at the temple, as we were discussing yesterday. The house that was filled was probably a portion of the temple where there was enough to seat 3,000 people. And they were waiting there to fulfill the entirety of the festival that they would have gone to the temple and worshipped in, which the book of Acts says very clearly at the end of chapter 2, the apostles worshipped in the temple. They did not abandon that worship until the destruction of the temple. And so Numbers chapter 28, 26 through 31 is the entirety of the festival as it comes to the conclusion. Also in the day of the first fruits,
when ye bring a new meat offering unto the Lord,
after your weeks be out, ye shall have a holy convocation.
Ye shall do no servile work,
but ye shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Yahweh.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
So that ending there is from Psalm 107, 21 through 22, which of course we do not have sacrifices any longer. And temple has been destroyed and the altar has been taken away from us. So the writer of the psalm tells us very clearly how the Lord chooses to be worshipped on days of holy convocation at all times. That's from the time Abel and Cain were doing it to the modern day. And so if we were to sing some psalms that are mentioned in Psalm in Acts chapter 2 today, we will we'll start with doing that. We have Psalm 119, which I do not see on the table yet for this week, which is Beth. Marie, you put yourself in charge of this.
Right.
Ah,
okay. There they
are. Anyhow, we always start with our portion of Psalm 119 as we enter into psalm singing. So we are in Psalm 119, Thet, which is the ninth part of Psalm 119. It's been placed to Forest to Green, another tune we are very familiar with from our other psalms, and a more traditional, English and Irish melodies.
Thou hast thou with thy servant help, as thou didst promise give. Singing these things.
to the Lord from His Word and instructed by His Word and actually meaning what you're singing. And so they're not just empty mouth moving. It should be a psalm of meaning. Psalm 47 says, sing ye praises with understanding. If you don't understand what you sing, or at least have some understanding of what you sing, you are in an error and need to consider what it is the Lord teaches us out of His Word. And so we have a copy of Psalm 110 on the table, which is to the tune of Wallace. And the reason we are doing this today is because in the liturgical calendar we are part of, this was mentioned in Acts chapter 2, which we'll discuss in our message today. And so this is a very important psalm. This, I believe, psalm is quoted more in the New Testament than any other psalm, if my memory serves me correctly. This is the most quoted psalm in the whole of the New Testament concerning Christ. And this is the psalm that Christ used to prove His lordship. So, it's pretty important. So, good and easy to find. There's one. one.
So if we'd like to take a break right now, we will do that, and we'll come back to psalm singing.
All right, well, we have Psalm 16 and ending our psalm singing today, which is also a psalm that was quoted in Acts chapter 2.
Lord keep me, for I trust in thee, to God that's what my
sorrow shall be mine.
Learn this lesson of the Lord. It is
after that the kindness and love of God our Savior, the Word Man, appeared.
This is
not by works of righteousness which we have done,
but it is
according to His mercy He saved us
by the
washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit,
which He pours out,
shedding on us abundantly.
This is through
Jesus Christ, our Savior,
that being justified by His grace,
we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
You also notice in the Apostles' Creed something that we have that we had just heard from the Apostle Peter preach to us, and that is concerning Christ descending into hell and rising again. That's where that part of the Apostles' Creed is actually taken from. Let's all say this together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death, and on the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy called out community, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting. Amen.